His beloved minister will die and also his beloved elephant. As soon as they've died, his beloved horses and female camels will likewise die. They will carry off one another's house, enjoyments, wealth. In every district they will slay one another with arms. In the territories there will be disputes, quarrels, evil acts. An evil demon will enter the realm. There will be severe disease. After that the venerable will become lawless. His ministers and attendants will become lawless. After that there will be respect for the lawless person, and there will be constantly oppression of law-abiding beings. Through honor for lawless people, and in the case of oppression of the law-abiding, three things go wild there: asterisms, water, and wind. Three things perish when there is acceptance of lawless people: the savor, essence, and strength of the good law, the strength of beings, and the savor of the earth. Where there is honor for untruthful people and dishonor for truthful people, there will be three things: famine, thunderbolt, and death by plague. After that there will be no savor or strength in fruit or crop. Many beings will become ill in those territories. Large sweet fruits in those territories will become small, bitter, and sharp. Play, laughter, and pleasure, things previously enjoyable, will become feeble and unenjoyable, fraught with hundreds of troubles. The savor of the moist essence of crops and fruits will disappear. Thus they will not satisfy the bodies, the senses, or the elements. Beings will become of bad complexion, of very little strength, and very weak. Having eaten much food, they will not attain satiety. After that, they will get no strength, prowess, or energy. Beings in those territories will become without prowess. Beings will become disease-ridden, oppressed by various illnesses. There will arise evil demons, asterisms, and various rakshasas. A king would be lawless if he stood on the side of lawlessness. The three spheres, the circle of the whole triple world, are harmed. Numerous such evils arise in those territories when a king is partisan and overlooks an evil act. If he overlooks an evil act, a king does not exercise his kingship according to the duty for which he was consecrated by the lords of the gods. By good action, beings are reborn as gods in the abode of the gods. But by evil action, they go among ghosts, animals, or the hells. Because of the evil act, when a king overlooks an evil act in his territory, he makes burn the dwellings of the 33 gods. He becomes guilty towards his forefathers and the kings of the gods. That is not true sonship, nor would true kingship be exercised. When his realm is being destroyed by very terrible acts, therefore is the king appointed by the lords of the gods in the abode of men. For the sake of suppressing evil acts, a promoter of good acts, the king produces fruition for beings in this life. He is called king because he acts in various ways in order to demonstrate the fruition and fruit of acts that are well done or ill done. He has been blessed by multitudes of gods and approved by deities for the sake of himself, for the sake of others, for the sake of the law and of his territory. In order to control wicked, evil people in his realms, he should give up life and sovereignty for the sake of the law and of his territory. He must not knowingly, without examination, overlook a lawless act. No other destruction in his territory is so terrible. When on the arising of evil, there is no suppression of the evildoer, there arise in abundance very terrible evils in that territory. This realm is destroyed as a great pool by elephants. The lord of the gods are wrathful, and the abode of the gods is destroyed. All things become unfavorable for that territory. Therefore, he should impose restraint on evildoers in conformity with their crime. He should protect his realm according to the law, and he should not perform a lawless act. Even giving up his life, he should not take sides. The king should be impartial towards relatives or other people, all the people in his realm. He should not take sides. The law-abiding king fills the triple world with his fame and gladdens the lords of the gods in the dwellings of the 33. In Jambudvipa, the law-abiding king is thus our son. He rules his realm according to the law. He establishes people in good action. And this king by good action sends people here, and he makes the abode of the gods full of gods and divine sons. When he rules his realm according to the law, the kings of the gods are very joyful. The lords of the gods are pleased. They protect this king. Asterisms and likewise moon and sun move properly. In due time the winds blow. In due time the god sends down rain. The god provides plenty in the realm and in the abode of the gods. The abode of the gods becomes full of immortals and immortal sun. Therefore a king should give up his own beloved life, but should not give up the jewel of the law, by which the world may become blessed. He should keep the law-abiding company of those who are fully endowed with virtues, who are always contented with their own people, and continually refrain from evil. He should protect his realm according to the law. He should teach the law. He should establish beings in good action, and he should restrain them from evil action. Plenty arises in the realm, and the king becomes famous when he imposes appropriate restraint upon evildoers. The king becomes famous and easily protects his subjects. So ends the 12th chapter, the chapter on regal science, called Instruction Concerning Divine Kings, in the excellent Sravanabhasa, King of Sutras. Chapter on Susambhava. When I became Chakravartin king, then I gave up the earth with its oceans. I presented the four continents full of jewels to the former Buddhas. And there is no loved, pleasing object which I did not formerly give up. For the sake of my search for the one who has the law as his body, I gave up my dear life during numerous eons, as I did during inconceivable previous eons, in the order of the Buddha Ratnasikkin. When that Buddha had attained complete nirvana, there arose a king called Susambhava. This Chakravartin, lord of the four continents, rules the earth as far as the ocean. And then the excellent king was asleep in the Jinendragosha palace. Hearing in his dream the virtues of the Buddha, he saw Ratnochaya, a preacher of the law, shining in the midst of the sun, expounding this king of sutras. And the king woke from his sleep. His whole body was full of happiness. Going joyfully out of his palace, he approached the excellent assembly of the disciples. He did homage to the Buddha's disciples. He asked after Ratnochaya, the preacher of the law, "Where in this noble assembly is the monk called Ratnochaya, who is endowed with virtues?" Then Ratnochaya was elsewhere, sitting in a cave, reflecting on this king of sutras, studying it, seated comfortably. Then they showed the king the monk Ratnochaya, the preacher of the good law, sitting elsewhere in a cave, refulgent with brilliance, splendor, and glory. Here this Ratnochaya, the preacher of the law, maintained the profound sphere of activity of the Buddha. He continually proclaimed the king of sutras, called the excellent Sravanabhasa. Worshipping the feet of Ratnochaya, King Susambhava said this: "Expound to me, you whose face resembles the full moon, the excellent Sravanabhasa, king of sutras." And Ratnochaya accepted the request of King Susambhava. In the whole triple thousand world sphere, all the gods rejoiced. In a pure place, superb, excellent, with jewel-like water, sprinkled with drops of fragrant water, he strewed the earth with flowers, and then the king placed a seat there. And the king adorned that seat with umbrellas, banners, and numerous thousands of silk cloths. And the king bestrewed that seat with various excellent sandal powders, gods, nagas, asuras, kimnaras, yakshas, yaksha kings, and mahuragas bestrewed that seat with divine showers of mandarava flowers. Inconceivable thousands of millions of gods who came desirous of the law bestrewed Ratnochaya as he came out with flowers from the sal tree. And Ratnochaya, the preacher of the law, having bathed his body well, having put on pure clothing, approached that seat, placed his hands in the gesture of reverence, and did homage. The kings of the gods and goddesses rained down Mandarava flowers. Inconceivable hundreds of thousands of musical instruments resounded in the sky. The monk Ratnachaya, the preacher of the good law, ascended the seat of the law and sat down, mindful of inconceivable thousands of millions of Buddhas in the 10 directions. Producing compassion for all beings and desirous of effecting a merciful mind, he then expounded this sutra to King Susambhava. The king, having stood with his hands in the gesture of reverence, rejoiced with one accord. His eyes shed tears at the force of the good law. His body became full of joy. For the sake of worshipping this sutra, King Susambhava then took hold of the Chintamani, king of jewels, and made a resolve on account of the welfare of beings. May there now rain down here in Jambudvipa ornaments made of the 7 jewels, and may the beings here in Jambudvipa be blessed and have great riches. Then there rained down on the 4 continents the 7 jewels, bracelets and necklaces, excellent earrings, likewise food, drinks and clothing. And when King Susambhava saw this rain of jewels in Jambudvipa, he presented the 4 continents filled with jewels to the order of Ratnasikkin. And I, the Tathagata Shakyamuni, was the king called Susambhava. I then gave up the earth, the 4 continents full of jewels, and the Tathagata Akshobhya was the monk Ratnachaya, the preacher of the good law, who then preached this sutra to King Susambhava. Because I heard this sutra then and rejoiced with one accord, through that good act of mine, and through my rejoicing at the hearing of the sutra, I obtained a body that was the color of gold, that has the marks of 100 merits, always of pleasing appearance, delightful to the eyes, beautiful for people to behold, causing pleasure to thousands of millions of gods. For 99 billion eons, I was a Chakravartin king. For numerous hundreds of thousands of eons, I experienced lesser kingship. For inconceivable eons, I was Chakra, likewise Brahma, whose mind is tranquil. Immeasurable are the Buddhas I've pleased, whose measure can never be found. So is the mass of my many merits without measure, since I heard this sutra and rejoiced in it, as according to my desire I've obtained enlightenment, and have acquired the body of the good law. So ends the 13th chapter, the chapter on Susambhava, in the excellent Suvarnabhasa, King of Sutras. Chapter on the Refuge of the Yakshas. Great Goddess Shri, whatever faithful noble son or noble daughter should have the desire to do homage, that is inconceivable, great, vast, extensive, with all appurtenances to past, future, and present Lord Buddhas, should be desirous of knowing the profound Buddha sphere of past, future, and present Lord Buddhas, he assuredly in that region, monastery, or forest region, in which this excellent Suvarnabhasa, King of Sutras, is expounded in detail, must listen to this excellent Suvarnabhasa, King of Sutras, with concentrated mind and attentive ear. Then indeed the Lord, illuminating this meaning in greater detail, at this time spoke these verses. Whoever should desire to do inconceivable honor to all the Buddhas and to know the profound sphere of all the Buddhas, he should approach that place, monastery or cell, where this excellent Suvarnabhasa is preached. This sutra is an inconceivable endless ocean of virtues and rescues all beings from numerous oceans of woes. I behold the beginning of the sutra, the middle and the end. It is the king of sutras, extremely profound, and nothing is found to compare with it. Neither the dust in the Ganges, nor on the earth, nor in the ocean, nor that found in the sky can provide comparison. Then he must enter by entry into the sphere of the law, where there is this stupa whose nature is the law, profound, well established. And in the midst of this stupa he will see the Buddha Shakyamuni expounding this sutra in a pleasant voice. However many millions of eons, inconceivable, incalculable periods, he experiences divine and human pleasures, one who hears this sutra will know that an inconceivable mass of merit has been thus acquired by him. One who is capable of hearing this sutra would traverse 100 leagues fully covered with holes of fire. He would endure great pain. As soon as he has entered his monastery or cell, ills depart from him, every evil dream and sign. As soon as he has entered it, all oppressions caused by planets and asterisms, dreaded evil demons, turn away from him. He should make there such a seat resembling a lotus as the Naga king revealed to him in his dream. And having sat on that seat, he will expound this sutra. He must read what is written and likewise understand it. Getting down from the seat, he will go to another place. There on that seat, miracles will be seen. And at times, the form of the preacher of the law will be seen there. At times, the form of the Buddha, and at times, the Bodhisattva. Sometimes, the forms of Samantabhadra or of Manjushri. Sometimes, forms of Maitreya are seen on that seat. Sometimes, merely a glow. Sometimes, the appearance of God is glimpsed for a moment and then disappears. The Buddha's order is everywhere, producing success, renowned, endowed with grain and blessing. It is a sign, an apparition of the Buddha, causing victory, fortune and fame, turning back opponents, completely defeating hordes of foreign enemies, overthrowing enemies in battle, removing all evil dreams, destroying all evils, removing all evils, bringing victory in battle. He will fill the whole of this Jambudvipa with his fame, and all his enemies will be soundly defeated. His enemies will always be suppressed, and he will turn away from all evil. Having conquered the vanguard, free of enemies, he rejoices. King Brahma, Chakra, the lord of the 30 gods, likewise the world protector, Svajapani, the lord of the Yaksha, Samyana, the chief conqueror, Anavatapta, lord of the Nagas, likewise Sagara, the lord of the Kimnaras and the lords of the Asuras, likewise the lords of the Garudas, with these placed on the head, all the gods continually honor the inconceivable stupor of the law. When they see venerable beings, they will become joyful. All the excellent lords of the gods will think thus, and all those gods will speak to one another. Look at all those beings endowed with brilliance, glory and merits. Because of a purified merit root, these men have come here, who have come here in order to hear this profound sutra, venerable men with inconceivable devotion to the stupa of the law. They have compassion for the world. They are working for the welfare of beings. They are a vessel for the juice of the good law, for profound things. Those who enter by entry into the sphere of the law are those who hear this sutra, the excellent Sravanabhasa. They have worshipped hundreds of thousands of former Buddhas, and because of this merit root, they hear this sutra. All these kings of the gods, likewise Sarasvati, Sri, Vaishravana, likewise the four kings, together with hundreds of thousands of yakshas possessed of supernatural powers and great strength, will give them protection everywhere in the four directions. Indra, Soma, Vayu, Varuna, Skanda, Vishnu, Sarasvati, Prajapati, and Hutasana, all these world protectors of great strength and prowess, will always give them protection, unwearied by day or night. And the very powerful Yaksha lords, Narayana and Maheshwara, and the 28 others headed by Samyana, together with hundreds of thousands of Yakshas possessed of supernatural powers and great strength, will offer them protection in all their fears and terrors. And Vajrapani, lord of the Yakshas, with 500 Yakshas, and all the Bodhisattvas, will give them protection. Manibhadra, lord of the Yakshas, likewise Purnabhadra, Kumbhira, and Atavaka, likewise Pingala and Kapila, each Yaksha lord with 500 Yakshas, will give protection to those who have heard this sutra. Chitrasena, the Gandharva, Jinasabha, king of the conquerors, Manikanta, Nikanta, Varsadipati, Mahagrasa, Mahakala, likewise Suvarnakesha, Panchika, Jagalapada, likewise Mahabhaga, Pranalin, Dharmapala, Markata, Vali, Suchiruma, Suryamitra, likewise Ratnakesha, Mahapranalin, Nakula, Kamareshtra, Chandana, Nagayana, Haimavata, likewise Satagiri, all these, possessed of supernatural powers, great strength and prowess, will give protection to those to whom this sutra is dear. Anavatapta, lord of the Nagas, likewise Sagara, both Muchilinda and Elapatra, Nanda and Upanadaka, with hundreds of thousands of Nagas, possessed of supernatural powers and great strength, will give them protection from every fear and terror. Bali, Rahu, Namuchi, Vemachitra, Samvara, Pralada, Karashkanda, and likewise other lords of the Asuras with hundreds of thousands of Asuras, possessed of supernatural powers and great strength, will give them protection from fear and terror that has arisen. Hariti, mother of the Bhutas, with her 500 sons, will give them protection whether they are sleeping, sitting, or standing. Chanda, Chandalika, likewise the Yakshini, Kandika, Kunti, and Kutadanti, who deprives all beings of their strength, all these, possessed of supernatural powers, great strength and prowess, will give them protection everywhere in the four directions. Sarasvati at the head and inconceivable gods, all the gods here with Sri at the head likewise, and the earth goddess, the deities of fruit, crop and forest, river deities and those inhabiting parks, trees and shrines. All these deities, with minds greatly rejoicing, will give protection to those to whom this sutra is dear. And they will provide beings with old age, complexion, and strength. They will continually adorn them with glory, merits, brilliance, and fortune. They will remove all oppressions caused by planets and asterisms. They will destroy every misfortune, wickedness, and bad dream. And the profound and every powerful earth goddess will be satisfied with the savor of the excellent Suvarnaprabhasa, king of sutras. The savor of the earth will increase 6,800,000 leagues as far as the diamond layer. It will proceed a full 100 leagues downwards. Through the power of hearing this sutra, it will moisten the earth upwards, and all the deities stationed in the 10 directions will be satisfied with the savor of the excellent Suvarnaprabhasa, king of sutras. They will become more powerful, endowed with fortune, prowess, and strength. They will be blessed with happiness, satisfied with various savors. Everywhere in this Jambudvipa, the deities of fruit, crop, and forest will be joyful at the exposition of this sutra here. Crops, grasses, various flowers, various fruits, trees, parks, and forests, they will make flower beautifully and emit various perfumes. With various flowers and with various fruits, they will make grow all the grasses on trees on the earth. Everywhere in this Jambudvipa, inconceivable Naga girls will be joyful in mind, and approaching lotus pools, they will plant in all the lotus pools various kinds of lotuses, blue and white. The sky will become pure, free of smoke and masses of clouds. The quarters with darkness and dust removed will shine brilliantly. The sun shining brightly with its thousand rays, with its mass of beams, rejoicing in its deep brilliance will rise. The lordly sun, offspring of the gods, residing in his palace of Jambunada gold, will be satisfied by this sutra. The lordly sun will rise in Jambudvipa greatly rejoicing. He will shine everywhere with his endless mass of rays. As soon as he has risen, at the sending forth of his mass of rays, he will awaken the lotuses that fill the various pools. Everywhere in this Jambudvipa he will be fully and properly ripen the various crops, fruits and plants. He will satisfy the whole earth. Then the moon and the sun will shine with distinction. The asterisms, likewise wind and rain, will come at the proper time. There will be plenty everywhere in the whole of Jambudvipa, especially in that realm where this sutra may be. So ends the 14th chapter, the chapter on protection, called the refuge of the Yakshas, in the excellence of Ranabhasa, king of sutras. Chapter on the prophecy concerning the 10,000 divine sons. When this has been said, the noble goddess Bodhisattva Samukchaya spoke thus to the Lord. For what cause, dear Lord, for what reason, because of whose performing, accumulating, what pure merit root, have these 10,000 sons of gods, headed by Jalavanta Teoraja, now come from the dwelling of the 33, and entered the presence of the Lord in order to hear the law? For they had heard the prophecy to enlightenment, for the following three good persons, that this good person Rusiraketu will in future time, when numerous hundreds of thousands of millions of incalculable aeons surpassing reckoning have elapsed, awaken to supreme and perfect enlightenment in the Suvarnaprabhasita world sphere. He will be born in the world as the Tathagata, called Suvarnaratnakara Chatrakuta, the Arhat, fully enlightened one, perfected in wisdom and good conduct, one who has attained bliss, having knowledge of the word, supreme charioteer of men to be trained, teacher of men and of gods, Lord Buddha. So it will be until when the Lord Suvarnaratnakara Chatrakuta, the Tathagata, Arhat, fully enlightened one, has attained complete nirvana, the good law has disappeared, and his teaching has altogether, wholly in every way disappeared. This son, called Rupyaketu, in succession to that Tathagata, will be born in the world in that Virajvaya word sphere as the Tathagata called Suvarnajambutvajakanakabha, the Arhat fully enlightened one. So it will be until when the Tathagata Suvarnajambutvajakanakabha, the Arhat fully enlightened one, has attained complete nirvana, and his teaching has altogether wholly in every way disappeared, this son called Rupyaprabha, in succession to that Tathagata, will in that Vijayavaya world sphere awaken to supreme and perfect enlightenment. He will be born in the world as the Tathagata called Suvarnasatarasmiprabhasaketu, the Arhat fully enlightened one, perfected in wisdom and good conduct, one who has attained bliss, having knowledge of the word, supreme charity of men to be trained, teacher of men and gods, Lord Buddha. All these were now prophesied by the Lord to supreme and perfect enlightenment. But until then, dear Lord, those 10,000 divine sons, headed by Jvalantateoraja, had not followed extensively the Bodhisattva career. It has not previously been heard that they have previously behaved according to the six perfections. It has not been heard that they have previously given up hands, feet, eyes, the supreme member, the head, beloved sons, wife, daughters. It has not been heard that they have previously given up wealth, grain, gold, gems, pearls, beryl, conches, crystal, coral, silver, gold, and jewels. It has not been heard that they have previously given up food, drink, clothing, vehicles, beds, seats, dwellings, palaces, parks, ponds, and pools. It has not been heard that they have previously given up elephants, cows, horses, mares, female and male servants, just as those numerous hundreds of thousands of millions of bodhisattvas during numerous hundreds of thousands of millions of previous incalculable eons will do worship with numerous inconceivable various hundreds of thousands of acts of worship, with all the pertinences, to numerous incalculable hundreds of thousands of millions of Tathagatas. Will give up all objects, will give up hands, feet, eyes, the supreme member of the head, beloved sons, wife, daughters, will give up wealth, grain, gold, gems, pearls, beryl, conches, crystal, coral, silver, and gold, will give up food, drink, clothing, beds, seats, dwellings, palaces, parks, gardens, ponds, elephants, cows, horses, mares, female and maid servants, will fulfill successively the six perfections. Having fulfilled successively the six perfections, will experience numerous hundreds of thousands of blessings before they will obtain from the Lord Buddha the prophecy to the name of Tathagata. For what reason then, dear Lord, for what cause, through what kind of pure meritude, have these 10,000 divine sons, headed by Jvalantateoraja, approached the presence of the Lord here for the hearing of the law? Why has the Lord now prophesied them to supreme and perfect enlightenment, prophesied that in future time, when numerous hundreds of thousands of millions of incalculable eons have elapsed, they will awaken to supreme and perfect enlightenment in the Salendaravagravati word sphere, one after the other, with the same family and clan, and with the same name? They will be born in the world in the 10 directions, 10,000 Buddhas named Prasanavadanot Paragantakuta, perfected in wisdom and good conduct, having attained bliss, having knowledge of the world, supreme charioteers of men to be trained, teachers of men and gods, Lord Buddhas. When this has been said, the Lord spoke thus to the noble goddess Bodhisattva Samukchaya. There is, noble goddess, this reason, there is this cause, there is this pure meritude on account of doing and accumulating which these 10,000 divine sons, headed by Jalavantateoraja, have now come here from the dwelling of the 33 to hear the law. Hearing this prophecy to enlightenment for those three good men, as soon as they had heard it, noble goddess, they obtained exceeding reverence, delight, and faith towards this excellent Sorvanabhasa, king of sutras. They became so long endowed with a pure mind resembling a flawless beryl. They became endowed with profound faith of mind as resembling a pure, vast, extensive sky. They acquired an unlimited heap of merit, and noble goddess, as soon as they had heard it, that 10,000 divine sons, headed by Jvalantateo Raja, so long obtained exceeding reverence and faith towards this excellent Suvarnabhasa, king of sutras, and became so long endowed with a pure mind resembling a flawless beryl, until they reached the stage of prophecy. Noble goddess, through that acquisition of the meritude, due to hearing the law and as a result of the power of a previous resolve, those 10,000 divine sons, headed by Jvalantateo Raja, have now been prophesied to me to supreme and perfect enlightenment. And what, noble goddess, are those former resolves? So ends the 15th chapter, the chapter of the prophecy concerning the 10,000 divine sons in the excellent Suvarnabhasa, king of sutras. Chapter on Healing Illness. Formerly, noble goddess, in past time, when incalculable and still more incalculable aeons, extensive, inconceivable, immeasurable, had elapsed, at that time, at that moment, there appeared in the world a Tathagata called Ratnasikhin, an Arhat, fully enlightened one, perfected in wisdom and good conduct, having attained bliss, having knowledge of the world, supreme charioteer of men to be trained, teacher of men and of gods, Lord Buddha. And indeed at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, when the Lord Ratnasikhin, the Tathagata, Arhat, fully enlightened one, had attained complete nirvana, when the good law had disappeared, and there was a copy of the good law about, there was a king called Suresvara Prabha. A law-abiding king of the law, he protected his realm according to the law, not according to lawlessness. He was like a mother and father to the beings dwelling in all his districts. Moreover, at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, there was in the land of King Suresvara Prabha a merchant called Jatimdara, a doctor, a medical man, expert in the chief elements. He was fully versed in the Eightfold Treatise on medicine. And indeed, at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, the merchant Jatimdara had a son called Jalavahana, a merchant son, handsome, fair, attractive, endowed with supreme excellence of pure complexion, expert in the various treatises, adept in all the treatises, learned in writing, reckoning, and counting. And indeed, at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, there was in the land of King Suresvara Prabha numerous hundreds of thousands of beings afflicted with various illnesses. Oppressed by their various diseases, they experienced pain that was wretched, severe, sharp, fierce, unpleasant. And indeed at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, for the sake of those numerous hundreds of thousands of beings afflicted with various illnesses, oppressed by various diseases, the merchant son Jalavahana produced a supremely compassionate thought. These numerous hundreds of thousands of beings afflicted with various illnesses, oppressed by various diseases, are now experiencing pain that is wretched, severe, sharp, fierce, unpleasant. And this father of mine, Jatimdara, the merchant, a doctor, a medical man, expert in the chief elements, fully versed in the Eightfold Treatise on medicine, is old, decrepit, aged, elderly, advanced in years, leaning on a stick, trembling as he walks. He cannot go to villages, cities, settlements, districts, realms, and palaces in order to free from the various diseases those numerous hundreds of thousands of beings afflicted with various diseases, oppressed by various illnesses. What if I went now to approach my father Jatimdara and inquire about skill in the elements involved in diseases, so that with the skill in the elements that I have inquired about, I may go to all the villages, cities, settlements, districts, realms, and palaces, and having gone, I may free from the various diseases those numerous hundreds of thousands of beings afflicted with various illnesses, oppressed by various diseases. Moreover, at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, Jalavahana, the merchant's son, approached the palace where his father, the merchant, was. He went up to him, did homage with his head at the feet of his father Jatimdara, placed his hands in the gesture of reverence, and stood on one side. Standing on one side, Jalavahana, the merchant's son, asked his father, the merchant Jatimdara, about skill in the elements in the following verses. How do the senses fail, the elements change? At what time do diseases arise for corporal beings? And how does one eat, in season and out of season, the food that brings welfare, by which the body fire is not harmed inside the body? How is medicine to be practiced in order to cure a disease when one has arisen due to wind, bile, phlegm, or a combination of these? At what time is wind disturbed? At what time is bile disturbed? At what time is phlegm disturbed, so that men are oppressed? Then indeed, the merchant Jatindara expounded skill in the elements to the merchant son Jadavahana in these verses. The rainy season is seen to be 3 months. Autumn is said to be 3. Winter likewise 3. And 3 too the hot season. Thus the succession of months forms 6 periods. A year is said to have 12 months. The monthly period is to be viewed in 2s. Food and drink are consumed accordingly. And the doctor, his skill, and the period have been explained. And the senses and elements change during the division of the year. The senses changing, the various diseases arise for corporal beings. In that case, the doctor must have skill concerning the fourfold division into 3 months, the 6 periods in the bimonthly division, and the 6 elements. Food, drink, and medicine are according to this sequence. Illnesses due to excess of wind occur in the rainy season. Disturbance of the bile is thought to occur in autumn. Likewise, illness due to a combination arises in winter time. Illnesses due to excess of phlegm arise in the hot season. In the rainy season, the characteristic tastes are fatty, warm, salty, and sour. In autumn seasons, fatty, sweet, and cold. In winter time, sweet, sour, and fatty. And in summertime, rough, warm, and bitter. Excess of phlegm erupts as soon as one has eaten. Excess of bile erupts during digestion. Excess of wind erupts as soon as one has digested. In this manner do the 3 elements erupt. Give strengthening to one who has wind, a purgative to remove bile. In the case of a combination, give something endowed with the 3 qualities. And one should use an emetic during a period of excess phlegm. One must know in which periods excess of wind, bile, or a combination, or excess of phlegm occur. That food, drink, or medicine must be prescribed which accords with the time, the element, and the person. Then indeed Jalavahana, the merchant son, having inquired about skill in the elements, connected with the underlying causes of illnesses, understood the whole eightfold medical knowledge. And indeed at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, Jalavahana, the merchant son, went to all the villages, cities, settlements, districts, realms, and palaces in the land of King Suresvara Prabha, and thus comforted all those numerous hundreds of thousands of beings afflicted with various illnesses, oppressed by various diseases. I'm a doctor, I'm a doctor. So did he advertise himself. I will free you from your various diseases. As soon as they had heard noble goddess Jalavahana, the merchant son, uttering such words as these, all those numerous hundreds of thousands of millions of beings became full of great joy. They became comforted, endowed with inconceivable joy and gladness. At that time, at that moment, through their rejoicing, numerous hundreds of thousands of millions of beings afflicted with various illnesses, oppressed by various diseases, were freed from the various illnesses. And they became without illness and free from disease. They became endowed with such energy, strength, and prowess as before. And indeed, at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, among those hundreds of thousands of millions of beings afflicted with various illnesses, oppressed by various diseases, whoever were afflicted with a severe illness, all came to Jalavahana, the merchant son. And having come, whatever medical prescriptions Jalavahana, the merchant son, enjoined upon those numerous hundreds of thousands of millions of beings afflicted with various illnesses, oppressed by various diseases, all the diseases of all those beings were thus removed. And they became without illness or with slight disease, and endowed with such energy, strength, and prowess as before. And indeed at that time, noble goddess, at that moment, in all the villages, cities, settlements, districts, realms, and palaces in the land of King Suresvara Prabha, all those numerous hundreds of thousands of millions of beings afflicted with various illnesses, oppressed by various diseases, were freed from their various diseases by the merchant son, Jalavahana. So ends the 16th chapter, the chapter on healing illness, in the excellent Suvarnabhasa, King of Sutras. Chapter on Jalavahana. Moreover, noble goddess, all the beings in the land of King Suresvara Prabha, were made without illness or with slight disease by the merchant Sanjalavahana and became as before in energy, strength and body. In the land of King Sureswara Prabha, all the beings rejoiced, played, enjoyed themselves, gave gifts and performed merits. They honored the merchant Sanjalavahana. May he be victorious. May the merchant Sanjalavahana be victorious. The great king of doctors, the healer of the diseases of all beings. He must surely be a visible bodhisattva. He has understood the whole eightfold medical knowledge. And indeed, noble goddess, Jalavahana, the merchant's son, had a wife named Jalambugarbha. And indeed, noble goddess, Jalambugarbha had two sons. One was called Jalambara, the other Jalagarbha. Then indeed, noble goddess, Jalavahana, the merchant's son, together with his two sons, visited successively the villages, cities, settlements, districts, realms, and palaces. Then indeed, noble goddess, at a later time, Jalavahana, the merchant's son, arrived at a certain forest wilderness. Then he saw in that forest wilderness flesh-eating dogs, wolves, jackals, and flocks of crows and other birds. They ran in that direction where there was the pool Atavisambhava arising in the forest. It thus occurred to him, for what reason are these flesh-eating dogs, wolves, jackals, and flocks of crows and other birds running in this direction? It thus occurred to him, what if I were now to approach that direction, in which direction the flesh-eating dogs, wolves, jackals, and flocks of crows and other birds are running? Then indeed, noble goddess, Jalavahana, the merchant's son, going about in the course of his successive visiting, reached that place where there was the pool Atavisambhava. In that great pool there live 10,000 fish. There he saw many hundreds of fish deprived of water. There he produced a compassionate thought. He saw there a goddess coming out of a tree with half her own body only. That goddess spoke thus to the merchant's son, Jalavahana. Bravo, bravo, noble son. Since you are called Jalavahana, water bringer, give water to the fish. For two reasons is one called Jalavahana, because one brings water and because one gives water. Therefore act according to your name. Jalavahana said, how many, goddess, are those fish? The goddess said, there are full 10,000 fish. Then indeed, noble goddess, Jalavahana, the merchant's son, produced in great measure supremely compassionate thought. And at that moment, noble goddess, in the pool Atavisambhava, there was only a little water left. Then those 10,000 fish, having come to death's door, deprived of water, darted about. Then indeed, noble goddess, Jalavahana, the merchant's son, ran in the four directions. In whatever direction Jalavahana, the merchant's son, went, in that direction the 10,000 fish looked pitiable upon Jalavahana. Then indeed, noble goddess Jalavahana, the merchant's son, ran in the four directions in search of water, but he did not find water there. He looked in the four directions. He saw not far off a great mass of trees. Climbing those trees and cutting off branches, he approached the pool. Having approached with those tree branches, he made very cool shade for those 10,000 fish. Then indeed, noble goddess Jalavahana, the merchant's son, investigated the arrival of water into the pool, whence the water might come. He ran the four directions, and he did not find water. Very quickly he followed the stream. And indeed, noble goddess, from that pool, Atavisambhava, there was a great river called Jalagama, whence the water came into it. And at that moment this river had been made to fall into a great hole in such a place by a certain evil being on account of those 10,000 fish, so that there would be no further arrival of water for those fish. Seeing this, he thought, not even 1,000 men could bring the river by this path. How much less, then, could I alone bring it? He went back. Then indeed, noble goddess Jalavahana, the merchant's son, proceeding very quickly, approached King Sureswara Prabha. Having approached, he did homage with his head at the feet of King Sureswara Prabha and sat down on one side. He informed him on this news. I have indeed allayed the illnesses of beings in all villages, cities, settlements, realms, and palaces in your majesty's land. In a certain place there is a pool called Atavisambhava. there dwell 10,000 fish, deprived of water, scorched by the sun. May your majesty give me 20 elephants, so that I may give to those who are in the animal state life such as is given to men. Then King Sureswara Prabha ordered his ministers, give to the great king of doctors 20 elephants. The minister said, go to the elephant house, great being, take 20 elephants, act for the welfare of beings. Then indeed, noble goddess, the merchant son Jalavahana, together with his sons Jalambara and Jalagarbha, took 20 elephants from the elephant keepers. Taking 100 leather bags, he returned to where the great river called Jalagama flows. Having come there, he filled those leather bags with water, raised the water on the back of the elephants, and went very quickly to the pool at Tavisambhava. Having come, he took the water down from the back of the elephants, filled the pool in the four directions with water, and walked about in the four directions. Wherever Jalavahana, the merchant son, went, those 10,000 fish hastened after him. Then indeed, noble goddess, this thought occurred to Jalavahana, the merchant son. Why do these 10,000 fish hasten after me? Next this occurred to him. No doubt, these fish, oppressed by the fire of hunger, are seeking food from me. What if I went now to give them food?